day. In every way, I am stronger and stronger and stronger. When I'm stronger, I'm no longer feeling alone. When the happiness formula is known. Yes, every day, in every way, I am better and better and better. Yes, it starts with forgiveness, honesty, and truth. Not just with others, but for yourself. It takes true self-worth to equal happiness and fulfillment for real emotional health. Every day, in every way, I am better and better and better.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Friday. I could not be more delighted to be with this group of people here. I'm Eric Nutting. I'm the owner of the Growth Coach of St. Petersburg, Florida. We are Sun Readers, a component of Sun Leaders, and we're going to speak with one of the finest gentlemen I've met, Gary King. He's the author of the book that we've covered called The Happiness Experiment. But before I see the sign that Josh is holding there, happiness, thank you very much. And we're recording from our new Connect St. Pete Working on the Edge studio, so we're excited to be here. And we're with our Sun Readers virtually. And what I want to do ever so quickly, go around the horn so everybody can say hello and good morning, and then we'll get into the meat and potatoes, or as Josh Naiman likes to say, the beets and potatoes of our conversation, and we'll introduce Gary. We'll have a great conversation. Mr. Naiman, good morning. Introduce yourself. Say hello.
Hey, everyone. Thanks for being here. I'm the president and founder of Sun Leaders, so I just appreciate all your energy, especially you, Gary. Thanks for participating with us.
My honor.
It's just awesome. This is very special. And we have a special year coming up, just to let you all know, in regards to happiness. But we'll tell you guys that later. I am Josh Naiman, and I'm also CEO and founder of Naiman Creative. So I'll keep it rolling, and I'll let you take the horn, Eric.
I love it. It is, in fact, going to be the year, the decade of happiness. Mr. Myers, I see your name next. You're up.
My name is Paul Myers. I'm the founder of Beta Bay Solutions. I'm a business consultant. I focus on the CHAMP plan, which is a tax incentive that gives you free health benefits and increases the employee's take-home pay.
Welcome to the day. Lovely to see you. Mary Kay, I see your name next.
Hey.
Good morning.
Good morning. Mary Kay Sturdivant. Pleasure to be here, especially on the Happiness Project today. And see all you. My company is HTML, Health Through Music and Laughter. It's for people that have hardening of the attitudes and want to participate in more joy in their lives. I'm a joy coach and a music player, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
We're glad you're here. I love hardening of the, what did we call it?
Attitudes.
I love it. All right. Well, welcome. Jaylon, I see your name next.
Hey, I'm Jaylon Gindus. I am an editor. I work with One Brilliant Arc. It is a story studio that helps writers and authors and filmmakers find their authentic voice.
Lovely, lovely. Nice to see you. Carrie, I see your name next.
I am here. Carrie Reich, the jingle writer, the everyday and every way songwriter, and I'm glad to be here.
Awesome. Thanks for being here. And James, I see your name next.
Good morning, everyone. My name is James Stobler with Vacations Are the Best. We specialize in REM, reunions, events, and meetings at sea, cruises with a purpose.
Lovely. Great to have you here. And we do have an exciting cruise coming up. So we're excited about that in February. It's called Seminar at Sea. Is the whole world invited to that?
Yes, the whole world is invited to that. So
the world is invited to that.
Some leaders get a discount.
That's right. Yeah, absolutely. All right. So without further delay, ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Mr. Gary King, The Happiness Experiment is the book we've been covering. It's right here. And there's so much to cover. And Gary has so much to share with us. Gary, what do we need to know first about the thought process, the art of being happy?
Well, first of all, but one of the number one questions I'm asked about the book is, why do you call it The Happiness Experiment, right? Because basically, as a general statement, there's 8 billion people on planet Earth, and more than likely, all 8 billion of them are doing a form of the happiness experiment, which simply means they're using the external world to manage their internal world. That's the short version of that. Whether it be materialism or money or relationships or you name it, anything that exists in the outside world, that's what people are doing. And most of them are doing it unconsciously. They're not consciously doing it. They're following a path that hopefully leads them to this mysterious word, happiness. It's a mystery. And, you know, my bio, if I read my bio right now, it'd take 15 minutes to read my bio. My bio is complicated. I have a very complex life. My travel, almost 4 million international air miles. And that's about to start up again because of the movie that is circulating all over the world. I believe it's in Stockholm, Sweden today. It's playing there today.
Should we take a moment and talk about the movie? I don't want to bump you off track.
No, it's fine. So what happened was it was a 3.5 year filming by a movie director named Jackie Ferris. It stretched over about 3 years. She would fly back and forth and film me in St. Petersburg and Gulfport in different locations. The essence of the movie is my life story about my only child, my son, Jason. When I was speaking in Australia, he jumped off the skyway and ended his life. So the essence of the movie is how do you get from life's probably one of the most challenging traumas is to lose a child to begin with, but to lose a child to taking their own life is the ultimate trauma. So the movie is about how do you transition from that kind of trauma to the world of happiness, which started by me putting up happiness signs in St. Petersburg starting November 7th, 2019. And then immediately the press started following me, Aaron Murray from Bay News 9, and it's gone on to this day. So the movie, hopefully it's in the works now. Yeah. Hopefully it will be at the Beach Theater soon on St. Pete Beach. So that's kind of the overview. The movie is a film festival movie. It's been entered in 100 or more film festivals all over the world. It just played in Mystic, Connecticut a week ago today. It played in Mystic, Connecticut, and it won. There's a lot of categories. The most inspirational movie, which it's won several times in different locations. So that's kind of a quick overview.
Out of just what you've shared here, I have 1,001 questions, and I've had multiple conversations with you. But as we think about trauma, are we always healing?
That's a great question. And the answer to that would be, from my 40 years of doing this, would be yes and no. And the reason I answer that way is because some people will attempt to heal using substances. And substances can be anything outside the human. Most people think of substances as things like drugs and alcohol. But frankly, a substance is anything that exists in the external world. It can be a relationship. It can be having power over. It can be a multitude of things. And people try to heal using that type of scenario, which is external. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't work. It actually makes things worse. There are other people. I will give you a real-time example. So last weekend, for the first time, I had a vendor booth at the Quarry Avenue Market. I've never even been to it before, much less had a booth there. But I was invited by the manager of the event, Blaze, to have a booth there. Now, I believe there's around 120 booths at the Corey Avenue Market. Corey Avenue Market's huge. It's all of Corey Avenue is closed. All right. So I tell people my vendor booth is the only emotional booth. All the rest of them are product booths. My booth is emotional. And the reason I say that is because nonstop starts at 10 and ends at 2. And starting at 9 a.m. in the morning, there was a constant flow of people coming up to me with personal situations. So we'll give you just one. A woman walks up and she says, how could you possibly get from losing your son in Afghanistan to happiness? She lost her son in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. She was in the military. And so that was a half an hour conversation. How do you get from there, which is exactly what I did,
right,
to where I am now from where I was July 29th, 2012. So, and that for me, that's 7 days a week. Wherever I go, 7 days a week, that's the subject typically. Either people are thanking me for the happiness signs, or they're giving me a personal situation to get some kind of relief.
Yes.
Okay. So this particular mother was looking for relief. Now, I can go really deep into that, which is in the book about my near-death experience, which is real. It really happened to me. Some people accept that. Some people don't. That's a personal choice. That's why I always say, I'm not in this to change a person's core beliefs. I'm in it to share what's happened to me. And from that, they can make decisions about their own life. So the healing part, you know, that's the transition to the happiness formula, which I created many years ago. And then I wrote the book by the same title,
right,
in 2016, The Happiness Formula. And all I did was take, that's correct. What I did was take the concept of the periodic table, H2O, two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen, and I turned it into the three foundational emotional parts of a human. So those three letters represent the three most important parts of a human's emotional and mental life. And without those three parts, it is literally impossible to become happy. There is no way, because that formula is extremely specific. And one of the reasons I put it in the format of the periodic table, I spoke, well, all over the world, but I spent 12 years at University of California, San Diego, speaking to 300 teens from 25 countries. I did that for 12 years in a row. I'd fly out there and do that. So I had the formula put on a hat, just like I have happiness on this hat. I had the formula on a hat. And the whole idea of doing that was I was internationally seeing if there was a specific demographic of people who would ask me what it meant, whether it was older people, younger people, males, females, if it was different in different countries where English was the second language, not the first language. And what I found out was that there was no specific demographic. It was 16-year-olds in other countries. It was 75-year-olds. It didn't matter. Okay, they were all asking me. And the interesting thing was at UCSD, when I'd walk around the campus, because I was there for a week, and I'd walk around the campus, the college students would ask me what it meant, and they'd write it down. They'd go, wait, I want to write it down. Only the college students did that. Nobody else. I could be in a Publix, and the cashiers would ask me. The people working in the seafood department would ask me. They would all ask me. That's why I wrote the book. So now the explanation of that, before I get into what I alluded to, was in the book, there's 93,000 words. There's one word in that book that is the most powerful word in the whole entire book, and it's not even close to any other word in the book. Not even close. that word controls the world, and everybody in it is controlled by that one word. And that word has never, to my knowledge, and I researched this morning, never been used on a news broadcast ever in the world. But before I go there, yeah, you know how I set that up. Before I go there, the happiness formula. So the formula, and I've done this all over the world. What does the F stand for? And basically, nobody's ever guessed at the F, which is really interesting, because what the F stands for, which is the word forgiveness, but worldwide for all these years, when I say, what does the F stand for? Nobody's ever guessed it. Mm. This fun and all these other things.
Mm-hmm.
You've never guessed the word forgiveness. Now, just consider just this one current fact. And I don't do politics. I don't go there. I study human behavior. I don't care if the humans are purple with yellow polka dots. It doesn't matter to me. And it doesn't matter to me who they see as authority figures. That's immaterial. I don't care about that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in the country currently, today, okay, what's today? October 10th?
Yep.
No. Today, does this country have a forgiveness problem that is at crisis proportion? No, it's way past crisis proportion.
That's an easy.
Did that a long, long, long time ago. Okay. Forgiveness of self and forgiveness of others. Well, starting there, you know, how in the world, and without me even saying it, how many happy people are in this country right now? Oh, I don't know. Maybe one digit, the number one. Because to get involved in whatever you want to call it, no forgiveness, no happiness, no exception, no forgiveness, no happiness, no exception. So you can't be happy and hate simultaneously.
Now, based on your studies, you do have a rough percentage of what you believe that ratio is of happy people, at least in our country, right?
Yeah, I mean, that is based on a lot of different studies that I've done. And one of them is 2% of the world's population actually can claim happiness. And the interesting experiment I've done over the last 4 months, and I do it daily because I'm social every day of the week. So people go, how are you? And I go, happy. And I go, let me guess, no human has ever said that to you in your life before. And they say, that's right. No person has ever said, yes, I've heard somebody say that before. No person's ever said that. Now that goes down a whole different path. That goes down the path of autosuggestion, which is autosuggestion can cure cancer. So if a person says, how are you? And the comment back is, I'm okay. I'm generally speaking, that's not even true. Okay, that's not true. So if a person responded with the word happy, what would they actually do to their human algorithm? Well, they would overwrite the human algorithm. That's what would happen. They'd overwrite it till what would happen is that's an auto response. So instead of even thinking about their life situation, maybe they want to make more money or what their relationship's upside down. Gee, if you used auto-suggestion and you started saying happy, what would ultimately happen is that would be an auto-response, which means that all the other things are, you then manage those things. But that's not what people do.
I'm gonna take us back in the conversation just for a second to make sure I caught what you're telling me. Forgiveness is the word, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So forgiveness, a key component of this healing process that we were speaking about.
Okay, so now I'm going to use me as a personal reference for forgiveness. Now, me as a father, and I lose my only child to taking his own life, what's going to happen with me as a father? I'm going to blame myself because that's what parents do. Because that's the natural reaction. That's a reaction. If I'd have done this, if I'd have said this, if I'd have, that goes on to infinity. Okay. Well, suppose, which is another subject and not going to go down because we don't have time. Suppose all those kinds of actions are predetermined for a reason that humans don't understand. They're predetermined. So I can say something like, gee, as an end result of my son's choice, he now has me in a position where I can help save a lot of lives. Matter of fact, the ones I don't even know about.
Mm-hmm.
One in the movie, the girl in the movie, name's Delaney. She headed for the bridge, saw the sign, went home. Now she's her life. She has a completely different life, completely different.
At this point in your life, 80 years old, with all of the different things you've done, how would you identify yourself now as an author, a speaker, a healer, a coach? How would you define yourself?
As a speaker, an author, for sure, a healer, as a creative person, as an authentic person, as a person who unconditionally love myself. Oh my Lord, most of my life, I couldn't even consider making a claim like that.
Right.
Not even consider it. So, and the other interesting thing is I've had a lot of career paths, which are indicated in my bio, which is in my book.
Right.
I'm starting at 80 years old, a whole new career. And I just want to, this made me think of something that I want to mention. It's very interesting. My observation, and this has to do with a lot of my personal friends who worked their whole life to target what's called retirement. Their whole was about retiring. Well, working your whole life to retire translates to you must not like what you're doing if you want to stop doing it. That's how I translate that. Ooh. And the reason I translate it that way is because I'm 80 years old. I got up this morning at 5 o'clock or 5:15. I go to bed generally at 11 o'clock at night. I work 7 days a week, physically and mentally, 16 hours a day. And people go, when are you going to retire? I go, retire? You mean 4 new tires and another 500,000 miles? Is that what you mean? Or you mean stop working and sit around and do nothing? Well, I'll never do that. What matter of fact, I can tell you 90% of my friends who that was their life plan, they're gone.
Yeah.
They're gone. Interesting. So moving on to the second part of the formula, HT2. You have to be honest with yourself and truthful with other people, no exception. So I'm going to give you a really, really simple example of this, which 99% of humans would never do. I was in Walmart on US 19 2 days ago. I had a whole bunch of stuff in a cart. I did self-checkout, used a credit card, bagged everything up, walked out, the guy at the door okayed me to leave with the ticket. I get out to my car and I notice that underneath all the bags I bagged, there were two items, identical items that were $2.74 each. And I forgot to scan them. I was almost all the way in my car. I turned the cart around. I went back in the store. I walked back by the guy who checks everybody leaving. And I said, I forgot to scan two things. And he said, don't worry about it. I will never tell anyone. That's what he said. So I go ahead on in back to the register again. And there's one of the employees standing there. And I said, yep, I have a cart full of stuff. And I forgot to scan two things. And she looked at me like, really? Because who would do that?
No time for a podcast, but love the benefits? Enter the Blogcast. Your blog transformed into an engaging professional audio experience. SEO boost? Check. Brand authority? Check. More outreach? Check. All without lifting a finger. Let Naaman Creative turn your content into a two-way dialogue that connects with your audience. Visit NaamanCreative.com today and amplify your voice.
When I tell story, and I do it all the time when I forget, and people go, well, nobody will ever know. What do you mean nobody will ever know? I know.
Right.
Does it matter to me that it was less than $6? No. What matters to me is my strength of character. That's what matters to me, because my strength of character is what controls my whole entire life, is controlled by my strength of character. Once I back off that and I go, that's no big deal with $6, Walmart can afford it.
Right.
Once I do that, I've broken the link to happiness. And that's why, so $6 can control your happiness? No question about it. No question.
Right. So to your point, that affects the programming or the reprogramming we're trying to do.
Yeah, because, you know, what happens to humans is they do something that's whatever you want to call it. It's unethical, or they tell a lie or something, and they glaze over it. Well, then it happens again. And what happens is it keeps getting bigger, because if you don't address it when it's small, it grows enormous, which is what you see now. You see the enormity of lack of strength of character, lack of forgiveness. And the other, my original presentations when I started, I started in Australia in 92 or 93. My original presentation was called The Power of Truth. That was my presentation. And I did that for 10 years. And I ended it every time on stage with the 24-hour truth challenge. And the 24-hour truth challenge is simply this. I said to the audience, I challenge everybody in here to be honest for 24 straight hours, no exception whatsoever. What you're going to discover about yourself is in order to be honest for 24 straight hours, you have to be 100% conscious in order to do that. So you're going to discover how many lies you tell that are auto responses. You just auto respond. You're going to understand the lies you tell to avoid accountability, to escape from accountability. You're going to understand how many lies you tell yourself when you're looking in the mirror or when you're doing whatever you do during the day.
Right.
When you do that, you and then if you pull that off, you'll feel a feeling right here in your solar plexus. And that feeling is called synchronicity. That's when all your body parts are synchronized now, and they're not all shattered apart. Because here's a reality check. And everybody watching this, you can research this. This is not, I didn't make this up. Okay. Lying causes cancer. Bruce Lipton, Gabormata, you can research it. Lying causes cancer. And telling the truth heals it. That's a book. Truth Heals.
Right.
Last name is King, like mine. Truth Heals. She had cancer, and she started telling the truth, and cancer went away.
Exactly. I was going to say, you shared that powerful story with us a few weeks ago. I want to see if we can just do a quick check-in with everybody, see if anybody has any questions for Gary as we kind of head into our last half hour. I want to make sure we don't leave you out of the conversation if you have anything that you want to ask.
And there's no such thing as an inappropriate question, just so you know. Let me clear that away right now.
Well, I don't want to take us out of this particular groove, although it's all aligned. Number one, something early on in the book caught me. And I don't know if you guys know, but Vermont, there are no billboards. And I think that's beautiful. I think it's 1968. They banned billboards to preserve scenic beauty and other stuff. And I think it's safer too. And I can't get unstuck from billboards. And you had mentioned that what if billboards, you had said, What if it all giant electronic flat screen and I would say print billboards rotated the word happiness or just had the word happiness? And I think that would be really powerful. But like, if we're going to have billboards and distracting drivers and cluttering our beautiful scenery, then might as well have the word happiness. So I couldn't agree with you more on that one, Gary. And I don't know if we need to have a discussion on that. I do have a question about curriculum. And, you know, you had mentioned that, you know, why isn't it taught? Why isn't happiness taught in public schools or schools in general? I bet it's trickled sometimes, ever so slightly. Very unique, probably. But there are no classes on happiness. And my question to you is, have you developed a curriculum? And why isn't happiness embedded into our educational system more?
Yes, I have a curriculum. Yes, there are some, but they're private schools. There's no public schools, to my knowledge, anywhere on the earth who does that. Now, there's an explanation for that. There's a reason for that. And the main reason is happy people can't be manipulated. They can't be used and they can't be abused. Now, so the educational system, what is the, I'm going to oversimplify this. So I spent 12 years in the public education system. My perception when I was going through it, even in junior high school, was this is a gigantic waste of my time. I could be doing something very productive because I saw it as a babysitting system. I saw it as a system where they captured you till you were 18 years old so that your parents could function. Because frankly, what exactly do they teach in the schools that is of practical use in an adult life? So I look back at it, once you understand how to read and write, what can't you do? Do you need to know algebra? No. Do you need to know any of those other things? I mean, I took my life and people go, how did you know how to build a house? How do you know how to lay tile? How do you know how to do this? How do you know how to be an artist? Because I watched other people do it. I mean, it's called self-learning. Anything that I want to do, I can be successful at. That's not an ego statement. That's a reality statement. If I want to be really successful at doing something, I can. That's my choice. Do I compare myself to other people? No, that's dangerous. Don't ever do that. Too many people do that. Compare themselves, what they look like or how much money they had. Don't do that. That's not a good practice at all. So, I mean, to have 36 traumas and be able to sit here laughing and talking about this after, good grief. One of the traumas, I was in a home invasion. I was 17 years old and I was beat into unconsciousness by five guys who, after I was unconscious, they kicked me in the head after I was unconscious. And I found out 10 years ago, I have severe brain damage as a result of something that happened when I was 17 and I was left for dead and they left. So, but I'm still here in my, let's see, I may be here at 110, 120.
So Gary, in your philosophy, what is the connection of these trauma situations? That's unusual, isn't it, to have that many traumas in a lifetime? Or is it unusual?
No. Well, from the outside world, yes, it's unusual. From my study, here's what it is. It's the human algorithm. So the human algorithm that attracts you to the lamp that you search for or the car that you search for or the whatever you search for. Well, when you start being traumatized as a young child or your mother is traumatized when she's carrying you, what people don't really grasp hold of is what's inside their head is a computer. That's what it is. And it records all of that, and it records it in detail, and it never goes away. It remains. I don't care. You can live to be 120. That program is still there. And
right.
So in psychology, it's called trauma bond. And trauma bond means an addiction to trauma. Well, that makes no sense. Why would a person get addicted to trauma? Because they don't have any control over it. It's an algorithm. So all it takes is a trigger. So that poses to the question, why would I wind up in a house that gets broken into and five guys beat me? They didn't even know who I was. So
right. It was
like they came looking for me. They didn't know who I was. So, interesting. I'm 17 years old. And that happened in South Pasadena on Pasadena Island. That's where that happened. I go by the house every once in a while and look. If my father was a pilot in World War II and my mother's suffering all this trauma, well, it's going right into my brain. So what's the algorithm going to do? It's going to direct me to all these places.
Right. I see Mary Kay's got a question. Mary Kay?
Yes. Thank you so much for your information. I wished you would have asked the F question because I've been intensely working on forgiveness. Mm. And I might have gotten it, especially the person. Last week, forgiveness is setting a prisoner free and realizing that prisoner was me. And I went through a family loss 10 years ago, and I'm a proponent of mental health, suicide prevention, and music and laughter therapy. You know, it's all kind of the same thing. But trying to get people to realize, you know, that's the secret. I like the truth element you had just expressed. I'm taking a course on brain trauma by Dr. Amen right now. And he was.
I'm familiar with him and his work.
Yeah. Unrealized traumas that we all have and that affect us.
Right.
But I would like to so much like go deeper with you and. I'll definitely be getting your book. I didn't hear your whole formula when you talked about it. Is it like an acronym? And how to best get in touch with you?
Well, I'm easy to get in touch with. So, I mean, I can tell you right now on this recording, my personal phone number is 727-692-9909. And my email address, my personal email address is kyngme2@aol.com. I don't hide those things like a lot of public figures do. I don't do that. I can't help people if I'm hiding how to get a hold of me. Okay. I just changed it. My website was just changed too, because it had a Gmail address on there that I rarely use. So back to the formula, because I want to make sure I get it all. The last part of the formula is the SW, and the SW stands for self-worth. Well, if the person doesn't have self-worth, they're not going to be honest and they're not going to forgive themselves and other people, because you have to have self-worth in order to do that. If you don't have self-worth, then you're down the path of you see yourself as inferior. And it could be your body shape and size, what you look like, what you think you look like. Those things have no place in reality. People just give them a place in reality, but they don't have a place in reality at all. And unfortunately, people don't figure that out until the end, and then they can't do anything about it. So in the book, there's a whole list of the traits of high self-worth people. And if you take one of those traits per week, and you just work on that trait per week. And I think the very first one is boundaries.
Oh, yeah.
Setting boundaries. People are afraid to set boundaries. They're afraid they're going to hurt their own feelings, other people's feelings. If you don't have any boundaries, you're going to get run over. And I can tell you, in my lifetime, I've been used, abused financially. Every person in my lifetime of the last 30 years that I've loaned money to, not one of those people has ever paid me back.
Well,
now I ask myself a question. Why did you choose people who don't pay you back? Now just ponder that question for a minute. why did you choose people who don't pay you back? Well, that's part of the algorithm. You're choosing people. See, I don't do that anymore. That's the learning curve. But where are we in time? Because
we've got about 15 minutes. And so were you going to tell me?
Okay. So the end of the formula is those three things. They're in the book in detail, and they equal HF to the power of 10. So the HF stands for happiness and fulfillment to the power of 10, which means whatever behavior you practice that is really based on strength of character, it compounds exactly like, there's an old saying, it's true. At 18 years old, if you deposited $50 a month, starting at 18 years old, by the time you were 45 years old and you never deviated from that, based on compound interest, you'd be a multimillionaire at 45. Well, if you deposited $50 a month starting at 18. The other thing that I talk about in my presentations, it's about character. It's a metaphor. Okay. Who knows how much a penny doubled for 30 days is? Does anybody know how much a penny doubled for 30 days is? 2 cents, 4 cents, 8 cents, 60.
Right.
Millions.
Like 2 million.
5,368,712 or $700 and something. If you add 5 days to the penny doubled, it is $160 million.
The only problem with that
now
is
apply that to human ethical strength of character. Apply it because it's the same application. It compounds in a person. Well, when you do that, your happiness compounds. And the other thing that's really interesting is, it easier to make money to be happy, or is it easier to make money when you are happy? When you are happy, it falls out of trees.
Mm-hmm.
When you're unhappy, you have to shake the tree and hope something falls other than an apple and damages your head.
Well, that makes sense to me based on my experience, for sure.
Yeah.
So, Gary, chapter 45 in your book is, in fact, the formula, the happiness formula. Yeah. It's a 2-page chapter. Yeah. We could read that and share it, but also I want to make sure we get to everything you want to get to with our time. What else is really, really important to you to share with the audience?
Okay, so the one word in the book, which in all the years I've been doing this, nobody's ever heard the word, and nobody can make any sense out of the word, and it's the most powerful word in the whole entire book. And the word is entrainment. It's the most powerful word in the whole entire book, is entrainment. Why? Because entrainment is controlling this country and every other country and all the people in the countries, and they have no earthly idea. And I have never heard that word on a podcast. I've never heard it on a news broadcast. I've never heard it in social media. And I checked this morning with Chat 4, and Chat 4 wrote me a whole thing about entrainment. And I asked for, give me some examples of who is using entrainment. And I got a whole list of names that people are using entrainment. Now, entrainment, does anybody on this call right now know what entrainment actually is? A definition of entrainment. Anybody?
I'm going to say no for me.
Right. Well, I've never
thought. Like Mary. No. I remember from when we had our last discussion, but Mary wasn't there. The floor is yours.
So entrainment basically is synchronizing people. And it's very, very, very easy to do. Synchronizing people is done all the time. It is not noticed. That's why it's not talked about. The personal development industry that I worked in, the whole entire personal development industry is based on entrainment. All of it. All the news media is based on entrainment. everything you see going on inside the United States that's not healthy or not positive or not based on happiness is all entrainment. It's all driven by entrainment. And the interesting thing is, that's not taught in schools. It's not taught in colleges that I'm aware of. Yet it's controlling all human beings. And there's no human outside of that. Because to be outside of it, you'd have to know what it is to be outside of it. You'd have to know that any time you enter into a belief system, a core belief system, a group, a movement, a behavior pattern, a core belief, any of those things, most of the time, 98% of the time, it's driven by the word entrainment. Entrainment involves music, lighting, tonality of people's voice, the white lab coat. The white lab coat is entrainment. Person puts on a white lab coat and they can entrain 10 million people or more. They can entrain a whole country. And entrainment simply means synchronization. That's what it means. It means getting people to synchronize,
right,
in a belief, a behavior pattern. And here's how absurd it is. I'm going to use just a minute example. I drive a lot every week. Entrainment. Running red lights. I was just on US 19 yesterday. Speed limit on US 19 is 55. 25% of the cars are going 90. Why? Why is the speed limit 55? Why are people going 90? Because one person drives at 90, and what does that one person do? Well, once upon a time, a lot of years ago, a man raised his right arm like this, okay? And he got 50 million people with his right arm raised up in the air. He didn't have to say a word, just raise your right arm.
Right.
So, you know, running red lights every day of the week. People are running red lights that didn't just change. I'm at 58th Street and 5th Avenue North. The light's been red for 30 seconds. And I see a car behind me. I'm stopped at the light. I see a car behind me in the other lane going 60 miles an hour. No brakes, no nothing. Just drives right through the red light.
Yeah.
That's synchronization. That's what that is.
So is it possible then? I'm sorry, was there a question, Mary Kay? Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a comment about entrainment because I'm trained to play music with people from birth to death. And the difference in live vibrational resonance when you play for somebody is way different than recorded people. So I did an experiment when I was on the cardiac unit and I played a drum that I made, a heartbeat drum, one beat a second. And I must say there are doubting skeptics in the healthcare field. And I watched the heart monitors entrain to me, their heart being entrained to the beat of my drum.
That's correct.
It's also, entrainment is powerful.
That's why I say it's the most powerful word in the entire book. But in what I do, no one has ever recognized that word, much less understand the word. And if you don't understand what entrainment is, chances are you're caught deep in entrainment without even realizing it.
Well, I guess that kind of gets to one of the questions I was going to ask, and I think Mary Kay just touched on it. How do we use entrainment, or how do we move it forward in a way for the Happiness Project?
Okay, that's a perfect question for me, because I already knew this when I started because of my studies and studying human behavior and frequencies and, you know, 432 megahertz and all that. So I already knew that as soon as I started putting up happiness signs, I was entraining people. That's what it does. The whole 676 happiness signs, that's entrainment. That's what it is. So, you know, so for sun leaders and sun readers, I'm donating a 4-foot happiness sign to put inside your building or outside your building, because it will change the vibration of the whole building, because that's what it does. That's entrainment. Entrainment is synchronization. You know, the story, I don't know, I might have said this at one of the meetings, when people go, explain entrainment. Now, maybe I did it at a group, I don't know. Entrainment, the way I explain it to audiences is two high school girls graduate from high school. They go off to college, two different parts of the country. They share a dorm room. Their periods are 2 weeks apart for 3 months. And on the fourth month, their periods are on the same day. That's fact. That is a fact. That's called entrainment. Because when two people are close together, it's like tuning forks. I have a pair of them in my desk. I can strike a tuning fork, not touch the second one, just put it next to it, and the second one will vibrate at the same frequency. Well, humans do that. They just don't realize that when you're next to somebody, you're going to synchronize. If you're next to a person that's a sociopath, you've been real careful. Okay. Because those are frequencies. So, and then the other end of the spectrum with the two girls and the periods is Hitler. What did he do? He used entrainment, just raising his arm. He didn't have to say a word. Raise your arm. And 10 million people in front of him raised their arm. Well, now they're synchronized.
We only have a few minutes left. Why does it seem that we as humans are more apt to fall into the negative side of entrainment rather than the positive side of entrainment?
Because that is the primary delivery system currently. Not when I grew up, but currently, the primary delivery system to entrain humans is two things, social media and news media. Now, social media and news media, as a general statement, don't pay any attention to happiness. They don't use the word. You ever see a news broadcast with the word happiness on the green screen? Because behind all the news anchors, pretty much, there's a green screen. People wouldn't necessarily know what a green screen is. A green screen is a piece of green material that you can project anything on. You can project the ocean or whatever. So right. I have a green screen as well. So, you know, I used the most powerful word in the book and the word happiness to entrain people. The whole thing, the more signs I put up, the more people are entrained to happiness. Because if you keep seeing the word and you start saying, you just become conscious one day and somebody says, how are you? And you go, happy. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're free of whatever you want to call them, issues. Okay.
Sure.
That doesn't necessarily mean that. Okay. People go to me, they go, are you happy all the time? If I was happy all the time, I'd get Baker acted. Okay. People aren't supposed to be happy all the time. People are supposed to understand the difference between internal happiness and external pleasure. Okay.
Right.
Everything that's outside is not happiness. That's pleasure. Pleasure seekers. I got to have more. Okay. Well, I've had lots of more. Now I have lots of less. And it works much better.
Well, as always, Gary, we could go on forever, and I wish we had that time, but we've reached our program here, and I want to ask you for final thoughts as we head out into the world and try to spread this concept of happiness.
So the whole thing in my world is this. Yesterday, I was just got a big chuckle. There was a Cadillac in front of me. And it had a happiness sticker on the back of it. And I went, look what I have started, because people in general don't put stickers on their cars. They quit doing that 35 years ago with bumper stickers. They don't do that anymore. But I've given out almost 19,000 of the stickers and every, like at Corey Avenue. Oh, I'm going to put this on my car. I'm going to put this on my bike. I'm going to put this on. And now they're all over the place. Well, if you're driving around and the car in front of you has the word happiness on it, where's your head going to go? Versus So the whole idea is, what's my goal? Happiness signs in every city in the world. Is that achievable? Yeah. Can I do that by myself? No, I have to do that with a group of people.
So that's a great, great call to action. So we've recorded this. I don't know how many people will see it or view it, but you just gave everybody your contact information. Perfect. Your goal is to spread happiness and get this in every city. People, please take advantage of that contact information. Let's get you connected with stickers, with signs, with the concept. And I'm sure that Gary will get back to you.
That's what I stare at. This is sits in front of me. That's sat in front of me for years and years and years. That's what I stare at when I'm sitting at my desk.
Awesome. And with your kindness, we'll have that in our space as well. We appreciate it.
I am donating a 4-footer to Sun Leaders.
That means a lot. Thanks so much, Gary.
I well,
appreciate your time and
my
and
pleasure.
Your engagement with us is so meaningful.
The goal is happiness. We've had enough of the other stuff. It's time for happiness.
Yeah.
Well, you've been a big part of pushing us in that direction for our time together.
And I'm never going to stop, by the way.
No, we're not. We'll never stop.
Did you get my link this morning, Gary?
I haven't looked at it yet because I've been going 1,000 miles an hour since 5:30. No, but I saw the link there. But I wanted to make sure I took a chunk of time. I didn't want to just pass by that. So, and I appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, there's like 10 messages in the chat. I don't know if that's one of the references there, Carrie. But if you get a chance, look at those messages in the chat. I've kind of been trying to keep up with them. But some great thoughts from all of you. I appreciate all of you so much. One more time. It's The Happiness Experiment. Author Gary King. I tell you what. 80 years of wisdom. So much to absorb from you, and I appreciate you 1,000% for being so generous with your time and your thoughts.
I feel the same way about this group. I'm honored to be a part of the group.
Thanks a lot, Gary. Thanks so much.
Yeah,
you appreciate you all.
And I will deliver the happiness sign to you.
That's awesome,
man. Thank you.
Josh, I want to ask, and I'll do it on here, that way we'll get inundated. Is our next Sun Leaders in the office or at Web City?
Great question. So we have one more at Web City, and our official, we've determined our official grand opening of Connect St. Pete, the home of Sun Leaders, will be on November 3rd, which is a Monday. And so from then on, so that Friday, that'll be the first Sun Leaders here. At Jump Sites
are meeting today?
No, it'll be next Friday.
Okay.
Next Friday. Yeah. And that'll first be at Web third. City Cellar. Then we're, first and third. And then that the following one will be here in our new space, which we're setting up, and it's coming together, and can't wait to hang that happiness sign. That is,
I will bring that unless you want me to give it to you sooner. I'll bring it next Friday unless you want me to give it to you sooner so you can put it up.
Well, I think next week will be fine because we're going to have some more furniture in here and can really feel out the space. We've got some idea.
One closing thought. Can I say it?
Yeah.
Every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well. Every little cell in my body is happy. Every little cell in my body is well.
Synchronicity.
That's perfect.
I love it.
That's a great way to end this.
My theme song. Yeah.
So this is just the ending of this. We got to keep this conversation going all 2026, the year of happiness.
The rest of our life.
Some listeners out there, this is the end of this presentation and our recording. Please reach out to us. Reach out to Gary. Buy his book. And for goodness sakes, spread happiness everywhere you can and be happy yourself. Thank you so much, everybody.